Speaking our pastor, Brother Chick.
All right, let's open our Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Title of my message this morning is in your bulletin. Being a cooperative. How many's ever heard of a co-op? Huh? That's when a bunch of farmers get together and put everything together. And co-ops work good. Everybody puts a lot in it, amen? And when they want something out of it, they put a lot more in it. And I look at this scripture and I see the kind of atmosphere that we as a church have and that we as a church want to continue with. The Bible says in verse 6 of this 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I have planted, now Paul is speaking here, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandmen. You are God's building. Now, Lord, open our hearts up. Let us remember what you've left us here to do. Let us do it with all willingness. Let us do it with a happy, excited heart. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are a few messages that a church needs 2 or 3 times a year. And you say, well, haven't we had this in the last 6 months? Yes, something similar. But it's like school. School rehearses things a lot, lest we forget them, amen? We know that teachers even have their work days, and they rehash things over and over and over again. Why? Because they don't want to see the fundamental things become so fundamental that they forget them, amen? And so every now and then, twice or maybe 3 times a year, we bring a sermon to remind us of the basic fundamental thing that God has called us to do. Now, every Sunday, we're going to preach the gospel, amen? We're going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, amen? If there was other ways to heaven, Jesus wouldn't come and died on the cross, be buried, and rose again. But that Jesus is that only way. We're going to tell you that it's important for you to accept him as your personal Savior. Because we all are sinners. Amen? If we weren't sinners, we wouldn't need a Savior. But we all are sinners. Therefore, we all need a Savior. We need to be saved from somewhere. We need to be saved from ourselves, but also saved from hell. Amen? But when we're saved from something, we're saved to something. We're saved to heaven. And then eventually to the new heaven and the new earth. But today I just want to remind us as a church, as a body of Christ, that now we're going into a different phase of the year. We're going into the summer phase. And to probably offset problems in your life when summer comes, I want to encourage you to stay faithful to God. Sometimes as summer comes along, we think, well, summertime is for vacation. You know, the funny thing about it, when you go to work, they expect you to work even in the summertime. Unless you're a teacher, amen, they expect you to work in the summertime. It's a year thing. You say, well, I get to take off once 1 week or 2 week, or some people even get like 6 to 8 weeks, Tom Smith, 9 weeks, 10, no. And that's when he was in the military, Dan Hayes, No, he's just still in school. They don't give him that much off. He only gets like 6 weeks off. So, but, you know, we do this, and we think, well, summertime we can leave God out of our life, or we can leave God's church out of our life. But I want to encourage you not to do that, because there are still people leaving this life without Jesus, and, oh, we don't want that to happen. Amen? So what do we do this summer to keep us thriving for the Lord and keep us moving forward for the Lord? Well, first of all, if you remember right, I talk about this often, that we need to have a singleness of mind. As a church body, each of us make up the body. And I've said this so many times, my hand has got to go where my legs take it, amen? My legs go where my head points. It just does. And so Jesus Christ is the head of the church, amen? So wherever he leads us, his body needs to follow, and we being his body, we also need to follow him. So we need to be the singleness of mind. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, join me there quickly. The book of Philippians chapter 2. These are scriptures that are not new to you. You know them well, but we're going to rehearse them again. He says, let this mind in verse 5 be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. So we need to keep our thoughts, on Christ Jesus. In the summertime, Christ still thinks about the lost. In the summertime, Christ still thinks about us, his children. So he doesn't go on vacation from his true love and his responsibility. So I think if we're going to have a likeness of Christ's mind, we're going to keep his work foremost throughout the summer. How many understand what I'm saying? And I think it's important that we do. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, that whatever we do, whatever word we speak, whatever we do to the glory and honor of Christ. Well, if we're off all summer long dinkering around, and God's work goes suffering, and we're not witnessing like we should, and we're not telling people about Jesus like we should, then our life is not to the glory and honor of God. Amen? That's what I like about the work of the Lord. You see these young ladies down here? They can work for God just like the adults. They can invite people to church just like the adults. They can read their Bible just like the adults. They can pray just like the adults. And a lot of times they work better than the adults for the Lord. And so we need to have a singleness of mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, yes. But whatever we do, we want to do for the glory and honor of God. Number two, we've got to keep Bible preaching first and foremost in our lives and in this church. I know some churches have gone to not preaching the Word of God, but let me remind you that the answers to what mankind needs is still in this blessed book, amen? It's still there. Somebody needs to go to heaven. It's in the book. Somebody's having trouble with their relationships at home. It's in the book. Daddies need to be the daddies they ought to be. It's in the book. Mamas need to be the mamas they ought to be. It's in this blessed book. Children, they need to be obedient and respectful to their parents. It's in the book. Amen. What we need in our life is in this blessed book. And the great thing about it, each and every one of us can own a copy and can love it. I have two family Bibles back there that are very old, and I love family Bibles. I sort of collect them. And I love these Bibles dearly. They're old, and I'm a little bit weird, and everybody understands that. Amen? It's okay to say amen, but just don't say it loud. But I got another Bible, family Bible, that was old. And I looked at these Bibles, and Brother Zach, I love the Word of God. It's important to me. It's what keeps me straight. It's what keeps me excited about the things of God. And man, I get those old family Bibles that are all rough. And they. Some people say, well, those are ugly. Not to me. They're pretty. And I'll show somebody and I'll get that Bible and I'll give it a great big old kiss and give it to them. Say, well, that's crazy. I tell you what, I love my wife and I give her a great big old kiss. You don't call me crazy. I love my kids, and before they had beards on them, I'd give them a kiss, and you didn't call it crazy. It just don't feel right now. I got a daughter, and she won't let me kiss her, but I still love her. I got a grandbaby, and she's too little. She can't fight me. I just kiss her all the time. I kiss the things I like, amen? Ice cream. Yeah, but the preaching of God's Word has got to stay in this church.
It's got to be here. It's got to proclaim the love of God, but also it's got to proclaim the judgment of God, because God has judgment too. Amen. My parents, I always told everybody, my parents love me. But you know what? In the same breath, boy, my parents judged me too. Amen. Judged me right here. Woo! Have mercy on me. Amen. And all the time they did it, they didn't want to do it. But you know what? They wanted their kids to turn out good. I know some of you sitting there thinking, well, it didn't work. Well, I tell you what, I'm better off than what I could have been. Amen. I'm a lot better off than what I could have been. I tell you what, the people I run around with are ornery. We was working with some electricity yesterday, and boy, I tell you what, I thought I was going to get shocked, but some guy was playing a trick on me, and I've been out in fields, and I thought a dog was after me because somebody was playing tricks on me and everything like that. I'm ornery, but other people are ornerier than I am, you see. But we got to keep the preaching going on. You see, the pastor's heart and life must be wrapped around God's word. But not only the pastor's, but your heart needs to be wrapped around God's word. I think if you'd read your Bible, you see the things happening in the world today, it would scare you, because it's in the Bible. It would show you the closeness of Christ's return. So that shows us, hey, we got to start doing something great for God now. We can't wait. We got to do what we're going to do while we have the time to do it. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit in our preaching. I don't ever want to get up here and just say something to say something. I want the Holy Spirit to take it out and use it in people's hearts the way it needs to be used. You see, this message isn't about me, but it's always been about our blessed Savior. It's always been about our great God. It's always been about the power of the Holy Spirit around us, because it's them who changes a life. Some people say, well, this preacher changed my life. He didn't change your life. Or this dear Christian lady changed my life. She didn't change your life. It was the message they brought to you that changed your life. It's always been God changes our life. Some people say, well, my baby changed my life. Then your life isn't going to be changed very long. But when God changes you, praise God, He changes. Amen? He changes. Number three, we must have a vision. We have a new memory verse for our Sunday school class. Isn't that right? Where there is no vision, what? The people perish. He that keepeth the law, what? But happy is he. You know, there's got to be a vision that we have. Say, well, am I supposed to see something like in the clouds or something like that? No. Or maybe if I eat some pizza before I go to bed, I'll have some glorious vision. No, you'll probably have some bad nightmares. But the vision we have is, where do we want to be a week from now? Where do we want to be a month from now? As an individual? As a family? Where do we want to be for God? By the end of this summer, Brother Rod, where do we want to be? As a church, where do we want to stand before God? How many more people do we want added? Brother Corey, my youngest son, came back from Texas today. I don't know about you, but the prettiest sight in the world is heading north and seeing the Red River in your rearview mirror. Amen, Brother Corey. That's a pretty sight. But Brother Corey comes in, he said, Dad, I don't know anybody here. He's been gone for 2 years. I said, son, isn't that exciting? Isn't that great? That means in 2 years, folks, we've grown. We've had a vision of not being where we were yesterday, but being better today, amen? And so we got to have a vision. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I apologize. How many fighting your allergies? You can feel my pain then. Now, God's people must possess a strong sense of doing big things for God. Some people say, well, I'll just do a little bit for God here and a little bit for God there. No, 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 no. Church as a whole, we got to possess that urgency to do something big for God. Amen? Say, what's big? Well, some for big is for people to come back on Sunday night. Some people it's big if they come on Wednesday night, you know. But no, that's just our reasonable service. But what are we going to do big for God this summer? Whatever it is, we're going to do it together, amen? Singleness of heart and mind. This will be born in the sense that it's born out of urgency. Now, if you were in a position where you could have something really nice and big for cheap, and you had the possibility of having it because the funds were there, or the means were there, you would be stepping over yourself trying to get to that thing that you want. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. We have the opportunity of doing big things for God. We have the opportunity because we have the means. We're the children of God. He's going to give us the power and He's going to give us the strength to get those big things done. I don't expect our attendance to drop off this summer in the summer months. I expect it to grow. How about you? And it's going to if we show ourselves here and we bring people with us. You see? It's so important because they need our Jesus. I think about our Sunday school class and what we've been studying. We've been studying David and Goliath. And we looked at Saul and how Saul looked at Goliath and thought Goliath was too big to go against. And Goliath was a big man. He just wasn't big, but he was tough. He was Andre the Giant big. Say, who is Andre the Giant? Oh, for your kids, when they really had wrestling matches back in the day, they had Andre the Giant. And Andre the Giant was this huge man, but he could fight. So he was big, and King Saul looked at him and thought Goliath was too big to fight. But then there was little old David. And you know what little old David thought? Little old David thought that Goliath was too big to miss. Amen? He said, man, I could throw a refrigerator at him and hit him. He's so big. But King Saul said, oh, he's too big. I can't fight him. Well, David found out he could throw a rock at him and hit him. Amen? He was so big. And he killed him. Let me tell you something. Satan tries to make the church get fearful and say, oh, the task is too hard. Nobody cares anymore. Hey, folks care. Folks want God. They really do. They just need somebody to go tell them. Instead of saying, well, the task is too big. We'll never get it done. We need the attitude of David. The task is big. We can get it done. Amen? There's a lot of people we can talk to about it. There's got to be an unselfishness in the church. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. There's got to be an unselfishness. Some people say, well, I only have Sundays off. I love it when people tell me that. Now, Terry, I can't come to church because I only have Sundays off. And you know what I always tell them? Lucky you. I get to work on Sundays. Amen? I work every Sunday. But besides this, let me tell you something. If Sunday is your only day off during the week, what better way can you spend your day off than in the house of the Lord? Your wife can't make you go out and do the lawn when you're in the house of God. Your husbands can't make you go do the laundry when you're in the house of God. Amen? You get to sit here and rest a little bit. And let some guy try to encourage you to serve Jesus more. Amen? Or try to encourage you to go to heaven with us. But in this book of Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For which the same manner that you meet with all, it shall be measured unto you again. And you say, Brother Chick, this is talking about money. Yes. It's talking about your tithes and offerings. But my friends, it's talking about so much more than that. It's talking about what you give of yourself in your labor and in your gifts that God has given you. Maybe God's giving you the opportunity to drive a Sunday school bus or to teach a Sunday school class or sit with kids. And I know some ladies say, I have to sit with my husband because he's worse than the little kids. And I understand that. My wife used to say that about me. She used to say, Terry, would you sit still? I can't. I can't even stand behind the pulpit. I just pace back and forth. Amen? Can you imagine me sitting down in a pew? I get that whole pew shaking because I'm shaking. But I'm telling you, folks, it's something that we give to God. Yes, tithes and offering, but also ourselves, our labor. We must have that willingness. What can I do for you, God? What can I do in your name that will bring honor to you? A lot of Christians don't want to give that kind of question to God because God said, you know what? I got the perfect job for you. But that's what we need to do, amen? Nextly, and I'm almost finished. We must have a balanced ministry. We must have a balanced ministry. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1. I mean, reverse that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. For a second there, I had mirror vision. But ye shall receive power. He's talking to his church. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. My friends, we have that opportunity to be effective, just not in our own community, but also in our state and around the world. Isn't that exciting to know that you can have part in all corners of this round earth? To know that you can, that while you're asleep, that you have part in somebody's ministry that's away. In Japan and in Australia, their Sunday is over. They have begun Monday morning. Yet while they sleep, we're here proclaiming the Word of God. And while we were asleep Saturday night, they were preaching, proclaiming the Word of God. You see, when we give our missions and we give our labor of love, the sun never goes down on the work here at Bible Baptist Church. Isn't that exciting? We have part in that. Part in all that. We must have the balance of evangelism and cultivation. Now, cultivation is preparing the ground, amen? Remember when we read, Paul says, I have planted, and Apollos had watered? You see, Paul did all the groundwork. That's what a lot of people don't like doing is the groundwork, the going out and talking to people and inviting them. Where other people say, well, just let me evangelize. Let me tell them the Word of God. My friends, they work hand in hand together. Yes, it's hard to work the ground. We have a garden behind my oldest son's house, and it's hard. That old ground gets hard fast. And those weeds, don't you just hate them? You get them all out, and next thing you know, it, you plant your plants, and the weeds just overcome them. So you have to get out there so you don't hurt the plant. And start digging the weeds away from the plant. How many's ever done it before? Not very many of you. Come over to my house. I want to teach you a lesson. Amen? So you get out there when it's 100 degrees and you're out there digging these little weeds. But you got to do it. Because those weeds take away from your plant. And so you got to have a cultivator. Those who are going out there digging and preparing the ground. Then you have those who follow up with the watering of the Word and keep sharing the Word of God. But what do you get? You get somebody now ready to accept Jesus as Savior. Then when they get saved, then they start growing for God. And they start producing fruit for God. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. Then nextly, we must have a church. We must have a church that will have a ministry that will be diversified. And every member should try, if possible, to take an active part in each and every arm of the ministry. As I said before, we have Sunday school teachers. We have bus drivers. We have people that run up to the door from the buses to get the kids and help them out on the bus. We have people that usher folks around to get them to the places they need to be. We have offering ushers. We have song leaders. We have specialists who can sing their specials. And we have two new preachers in our church, reverenders. We have all these different things. We have people in our church that can work on air conditioners, and they do it free for the Lord. We have plumbers in our church that do it free for the Lord. We have mechanics in our church that do it free for the Lord. That's what the ability God's given them. This is what a church does. We make ourselves available to God to use us in whatever way we can do to progress His work. Amen. We had one guy, we're going to be cutting down a tree out here, and he says, I can't do much, but you see that tree down there? I want the job to take it down. And you know what I said? I'll let you do it. Because every time I take down a tree, there's a car, there's electrical cables, there's television cables. I find a way to bring them down to the ground with it. Don't I, Travis? It just happens. But he's got the way to use for the Lord. We have painters in our church that help us paint. And all those things are good. But in all those things, those same people have the ability to invite somebody to Jesus. Amen? That's the important part. Invite somebody to Jesus. Yes, we've got to have some leadership. A church that is alive must have the capacity to believe that their pastor is the under-shepherd. And this is something that you've taken to yourselves about your pastor here. God has put a pastor to lead. But the Bible tells the pastor, don't lead by command, lead by example. So I'm not much of a pastor if I say, you go do this, you go do this, you go do this. Well, what are you going to do, preacher? Well, you know, I think I'm going to go fishing. No. This old preacher's going to be out there where you're at. When we go door-to-door visiting, the preacher's there with you doing door-to-door. When we go visiting, the preacher's out there visiting. When we do yards, the preacher's out there in the yards. When we get ready to do our parking lot in the back in 2 weeks, the preacher's going to be in the back doing the parking lots. You see, folks, we work together. But, Brother Chick, you don't understand. It's summertime. You know what that means to me? It's going to stay light longer so we can do more for Jesus. My friends, as I now close this sermon, I want us to remember that we are a body together. And our desire is wanting to see people accept Jesus as Savior. Because their life is never going to be complete until, first of all, they let Jesus come into their heart. You know, Brother John, their life's not going to be complete until they start serving the Lord like they should serve Him. Maybe they need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Today you can come and present yourself for scriptural baptism. Maybe you haven't been witnessing like you should. You know, today you can purpose in your heart, I'm going to change this. I'm going to start telling people about Jesus. Maybe you haven't been given the time in your Bible, in your prayer life. You know, today you can put it first in your heart. God, today I'm going to give you your place in Bible study and prayer. I love Bible study. And I love to pray. I tell you what, you receive a peace when you pray, Brother Tom. Sometimes I can't go to sleep, and I start praying. And you know what? The devil doesn't want me to pray. So while I'm praying, you know what happens? I fall asleep. Let me ask you, what better way to fall asleep than talking to Jesus? Amen. Folks, without a vision, people perish. If we don't have a vision to do great things this summer, people are going to perish. That means someone having no hope. But my brothers and sisters in Christ today, we know there is a hope. And His name is Jesus. He rose from the grave that you and I have hope of heaven. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.